Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke. I'm your art barista at Let's Talk Art, where I serve up great art for your listening pleasure. Today, I'm talking to former gallery owner, art dealer, and current art consultant, Michelle Gozy. I was curious about art investing and knew absolutely nothing about it. I know Michelle thinks it's a bad move and found it curious given her history. So I wanted to find out more. We talk collecting, we talk trends, we talk masterworks. A whole bunch of new realizations in this episode. Enjoy! I've never been smart with investments or stocks, but one thing I've learned over the years is that an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. If you want to get smart with your money, you can trade smarter and maximize your returns with Trade with UFOs. Trade with UFOs is a brand that represents a community of users trading with predictive tools. You don't have to be good with stocks. They literally hold your hand while you trade, teaching you everything you need to know. You see, Trade with UFOs is also a portal which provides access to predictive apps, courses, and coaching, all to show you how to make money using unfilled orders. Why am I so passionate about this? Because then we'll all have more money in our pockets to buy more art. It's time to get smart with your money. Leverage your success with Trade with UFOs. Go to tradewithufos.com and use my offer code Brooke for a 50% off discount on all of their products. That's B-R-O-O-K-E.
Ah, there you are. There you are. Like magic. How's your day going?
It's going good. How about yours?
Oh, I only have good days.
Awesome. I love that.
Yeah. When you get to be my age, the time is too short to have anything but good days.
That's awesome. I absolutely love that. I'm going to use that.
I mean, it's just a waste of time and energy to squander it on anything but good. So
I love your red. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's my fave.
Yeah.
So I wear it often.
Fantastic. So we're talking about art investing today.
Yeah. Such as it is.
Yeah. And you're pretty vocal about your feelings about it.
Yeah. I think it's a very good way to waste and lose money, unless under some very narrow circumstances. And that's, you know, when you invest in anything at all, what you're trying to do is have an advantage over losing money,
right?
Or over staying even.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what you're trying to do is gain.
Yeah.
And in all of the other things that one does to invest and gain money or to gain ground, there are stock market is the most obvious, but even coins or something else, there are guidelines and there are known values of things that you can look up in charts.
Right.
And those things are simply not available in the art market.
Okay.
There are laws against fraud, but other than that, there are absolutely no guidelines. None, zero.
That's interesting. I hadn't realized that.
Yeah, none. There are no guidelines.
Okay.
Anybody can do anything they damn well please.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it like the Wild West, a total free for all.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also only very limited statistics available.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few statistics available, mostly put out by auction houses, but they don't cover everything.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't find out what any particular artist's track record is.
Mm-hmm.
You can accept what they tell you, but they're self-interested.
Yeah.
So that's not reliable.
No.
and very few artists go to auction.
Mm-hmm.
And auction results are, you know, the only artists that get into auctions are artists who are very well known, mm-hmm. or who happen to be included in a collection that includes really famous artists. So
Right.
most of us never get into an auction,
Okay.
ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I get
So
that.
the artists that most people can afford to buy, you can't use auction results because they're not in them. They're not included.
Right.
So where are you going to get statistics on the sale results of, Joe Smith artist? Where are you going to get their sale results? Nowhere.
Right.
There is no place to get accurate sale results
Okay.
on almost all artists. And there's a woman who writes on Quora, who is an investor, but and she's got some really interesting statistics. She actually does collect successfully, but she collects like something like Dutch cabinet pieces from the
Wow.
years 1740 to 1760,
Very specific.
a tiny little narrow niche that she can identify and get results on. Because A, it's historical, and B, it's so itsy bitsy.
Right.
And she wrote something once that I saved because she wrote, "Oh yes, art pieces do indeed lose value. They even lose value when they never gained any value to start with."
Wow.
And she said, "Keep in mind that in the United States alone, there are an estimated 288,000 fine artists." This is not including craftspeople, who each, on average, churn out about 100 works per year. Some do many more, some do many less. But that's about 28.8 million works of art created each year in the United States of America.
Wow.
Okay, of all of that art made by Americans, less than 0.17% or under 5,000 artworks would be considered valuable by any measure. Moreover, less than 1,000 of those 5,000 would probably be considered investment grade
Wow.
out of all those, okay? Which means that they have any chance at all of increasing or even maintaining their value.
Right.
A very small percentage of art, and you're talking about, civilians, people who don't know much about art, how are they going to even ascertain which ones those are? But let's just go on with what she says. So you can take, she said, so most of those are considered valued by the locus of the reputation of the artist, the dealer that represents them, and the collectors of the artist. It has nothing to do with the art
Actual
itself.
art. Okay, that's interesting. That's really interesting.
Value is what third parties confer on the art.
Right. Yeah,
Okay.
that's wild.
And those and what those third parties confer on the art can run away.
Yeah.
Depending on what
Contain.
else comes up that
Yeah. Absolutely.
they go, "Oh, this is better."
Right. Or just with the whatever's popular that year.
Right. And so most artists never even get a chance to be noticed, which is why in the contemporary art market, 25 artists, 2-5 artists account for almost 50% of all auction sales.
Wow. Who are they?
Oh, well, there's a list, but it changes every year, but they're the artists whose names almost everybody knows. Right now, there are actually a couple of Chinese artists
Okay.
that are on that list. And so it's a popularity game. And if you're on that list, if you're one of those 25, well, you and I can't afford that art.
No, certainly not.
We can't afford that art.
Right.
So for us to even, and almost anybody we know, to even think about buying for investment is nuts. It's flat out nuts.
Yeah, I agree.
But because so what happens is press releases get done of those guys getting these huge multi-million dollar prices, and everybody goes, oh, isn't that exciting? I could do that too. Well, you know, you can't. You can't. So realistically, you can't. And then you have these recent companies that have been started where they take some of those artists, some of the famous artist names, and they buy one or two of their works and they chop it into shares.
Yeah, Masterworks.
Masterworks is one of them. There are a couple more. And they say, oh, well, you can buy a share of a famous artist.
Right.
But the problem is the works that they purchase aren't the good ones. And try to get an ROI. Just try to get a return on investment number from these people.
Right.
I have not been able to. I've been trying to get an ROI year on year from at Masterworks for 5 years now.
Wow.
They won't give me an ROI. So that means that they're either
not
hiding
good.
That information or they're not getting very good ROIs and they don't want to disclose that.
Well, you mentioned in one of the posts that there were like a lot of like, okay, so you do say you do collect a piece that does appreciate in value. And if you try to actually cash it out to get the money,
then this is the other problem with art investment. You can buy a stock, you can buy a coin, you can buy a piece of jewelry, and it can appreciate, and then you can sell it, and you will have a cost of sale that is something, usually 10 or 20%. But if you want to sell a work of art, your cost of sale is going to be 50%.
Wow.
Whoa. Now, I recommend highly to people who purchase art that when they buy art, they ask this question when they purchase. Dear gallery, I've loved this experience buying my art from you. You've been wonderful to work with. Now, if I want to resell this art in a few years, will you take it back in on consignment?
Oh, that's a good question.
And what rate will you charge me when you do, and will you put that in writing?
Oh, that's a fantastic idea. That's a fantastic idea.
I know of no gallery who does that at present. And it is my sincere belief that they all should. But they won't unless buyers force them to.
Oh, I love that idea. So when you ran your gallery, did you do that?
I have always taken Goji work back in on consignment, always. But I charge 50% the same way I charge an artist, because that's what my gallery walls are set up for. And so it's expensive to resell a work of art. It costs the buyer the same thing it costs an artist to resell, 50%.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You have to have an increase in value to make any money or even break even.
That's insane.
This is why it's a lousy investment. If I buy a painting for $10,000, it has got to increase to $20,000 before I even break even.
Wow. That's insane.
Tell me another investment that's true of.
I know of none.
This is why art for investment is terrible. It's the primary reason is the cost of resale is outrageous. Now, it is possible what when people come to me and I've sold so much art over the years. Goji has sold so much art over the years that I, and now the baby boomers are aging out, dying. So I'm getting a lot of resale work back. And what I tell people is, look, I'm going to charge you 50%, and that's going to hurt, although you've had a lot of appreciation, so it won't hurt as much, but still. But there are ways you can afford to reduce the price and try selling it yourself online. You can do that. So why don't you try that first? You'll have to put up with all the aggravation, but you can try it. And in fact, if you don't want to do that, or if it's too much aggravation, or if you aren't successful, then come back to me and I'm here. That's how I handle my people.
Well, that's what I was gonna
Most
ask.
galleries don't.
How do you like it? Is it possible for someone to sell their art by themselves online?
Sure. There are these days a number of online sites, but you have to have really good photographs, and you can afford to reduce the price below market because you're not paying the 50% discount, and put it online, but you don't get the exposure because most people don't go to online art sites to look for art to buy. So
To look for expensive fine art to buy.
it's possible, but it's less likely because that's just not how people buy art. They buy inexpensive. Online art sites are really good for buying what I call kitchen art. Inexpensive art, that's kind of what sells on online sites. And then there are some people who have met actually some artists who have managed to build really good clientele from online sites. They've worked hard at it, and they're all over the place. They've got Instagram setups, and they've got good websites of their own, and they've created personalities. And they've managed to do it, but it doesn't seem to work well for resale of gallery purchased art. I haven't seen anybody doing that successfully. And each online site seems to have its own personality. Like DeviantArt is artists showing off to other artists. That's what DeviantArt is. You don't sell things on DeviantArt, you show off to each other. That's what it seems to me. And Instagram really does seem to be effective for some kinds of things, but you have to examine it and use it, fall within its personality. You have to study these things and then do what they are like for it to work. You can't just throw stuff on. Every website has its own character.
That makes sense. Yeah, it also makes sense that like you wouldn't want to go to an online site to buy like a Van Gogh that's really expensive.
No. Well, no, your first response, your first thing is, what's it doing here? This can't be real.
This is something's wrong with this. But what about, okay, so I understand that about like the older, more expensive things that are definitely valuable art. But like what about like a contemporary artist like that so like a local contemporary artist, even if they're in a gallery, would their art would or would not appreciate?
The things that make art appreciate are increasingly complex. because we've moved into, I mean, it used to be that if the art was beautifully crafted, there were two pieces of the puzzle. If something was beautifully crafted and it had high creativity, and if those things were both really high, then boy, you had a great work of art. Now, sometimes we gave the craftsmanship a pass, like a lot of the old work of Picasso was not as well crafted, but he was so creative, we'd give him a pass, you know. But in general, the higher the creative, the higher the craftsmanship and the higher the creativity, the better the art, and the better that would fare in the marketplace in general. And the more, and the arbiters of art, which would be the art writers, and you'd struggle to get things into museums. And if you could get your work into museums and in good collections, you were home free if you had those characteristics. But things are different now. This was when it has a lot to do with demographics. The art business is a fairly recent business. It didn't even really exist until just post-World War II. Only the intelligentsia and the wealthy even purchased art
Art, yeah.
until World War II. And then in World War II, prompted by the personal promotion of Salvador Dali and Pablo Picasso, who were masters at personal promotion,
Even before
masters.
the internet.
Yeah. The GI Bill in the United States provided college education and first-time home buying for all the people in the army. So that gave people homes they were proud of that had empty walls and college education. This happened simultaneously with a technology that made mass-produced prints possible. All of these things happened at the same time, roughly the late 50s, early 60s. And it was then that the art world boomed because there was a need for art to hang on the walls of these proudly owned new homes. And the poster business started. And once people bought a poster, they wanted something more as they gained prosperity. And all of a sudden, there were art galleries. Art galleries really didn't exist until the 60s.
That's
And
interesting.
so all of a sudden, art galleries. And all of a sudden, from posters to limited edition prints to a demand, the next step up is original art.
Are
So today,
you talking about art galleries didn't exist in America until after?
nope, not to speak of. I mean,
Had
there were a few,
them in Europe, right?
not to speak of. And they still don't have as many in Europe as we have here. And they were always for the rich and the intelligentsia, not for the common man. And now, and there, and people, if you look at photographs of the interiors of homes back then, people had empty walls or they had pictures, photographs of families. They didn't have paintings.
That makes sense.
So it was really, this is really a very recent phenomenon. I mean, 50, 60 years old is all. I
That's
mean, not much. And then this, now what it's become, and it was fostered by, if you look at a demographic chart, there was this huge 80 million people that was the baby boom. And that's who bought all this stuff. The baby boom. The baby boom were they were prosperous. They were largely more educated than previous people, and they went out and said, "Boy, I got to put things on my walls." And but now what's happening is that the baby boom is aging out. They're dying. They're aging out. And behind them is this huge trough. We are going to be losing a lot of art galleries in the next some years. Now, behind that, so it actually looks like if you had a stuffed bra with lying flat in the middle, in between. That's what the and the trough's in the
I think
middle.
I can take a
And
picture.
there's so that I know, well, it's just like 2 pounds in this trough in the and the trough in the middle is a whole bunch fewer people. And that's kind of where we are now. The baby boomers are in their 70s or older, dying. Now the next and the millennials are another huge boom, but they don't aren't as interested in art. And they're now the peak is about 32 years old. And they rent instead of buy their homes. So they're not as, and they didn't have the education. They don't care as much about art. We don't know what's going to happen, but I suspect we're going to lose a lot of art galleries. That's my guess. And the taste will change dramatically. I'm seeing two kinds of new art now, a lot of storytelling, a lot of narrative. At least it's back to drawing. Some very well drawn things. They're teaching drawing in art school again. Yay. And but very well drawn narrative, kind of complex narratives. And then these kind of insipid, stupid, wide-eyed things.
I don't like them either.
Kind of like I don't know kind of what to call them. They're just kind of like they belong in candy packs. Just these big wide-eyed faces. And those two kinds of things seem to be the new art. And so who knows? Art always changes because artists don't sit above culture and create. Artists arise up from culture. They're part of culture. And so they create from culture and then show us whatever's there. Everything we know about history comes from the arts,
Kind
except
of
for a few granary receipts.
like
I mean, that's how we know about history. We know it from paintings and the music and the literature.
Life imitates art, art imitates life.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's our non the visual arts are our non-linear knowing.
I've always said that art is the best way to learn history, because
It
that's
is.
it's just it's more compact than a book, for sure, and more interesting than a book. And so much so about the same or more information than a book.
Yes, and there it is. I mean, it just and you can sense it. There are things that visual art can communicate that can't be communicated in words. All the things that we care about on our deathbeds: compassion, respect, love. You can't. Yeah, that's what poetry is, an attempt to turn words into pictures.
I love that. That's
Because all of the things that we really care about are nonverbal, are nonlinear. That's why paint pictures and music have been in all cultures in all times throughout history. Because the things that really matter are in them.
You're absolutely right. That's true. So we should not buy art for an investment purposes.
Well, unless you want to take a, you should buy it because you love it and because it enriches your life. And it does in a way nothing else can.
I agree. I
You
agree.
know, but it's really not, you know, buy something else for investment, buy stocks, buy jewelry or something, anything else.
Right. I love it. I love it. That's awesome. And I love it that you're so honest about that, because as an art dealer, you could be like just, promoting it as, oh, you should buy this as an investment.
Oh, and I have heard, it just horrifies me. I've heard so many art dealers use the word investment, and I just want to either crawl under the floor or slap them silly. What are you
Right.
bothering?
Well,
But
I think that gives you a lot of credibility, because I think that you're just kind of like, because you tell the truth.
yeah.
I think
Well,
you're
there are other things to think about when you purchase art too. There's a hierarchy of media,
doing.
you know, in terms of value.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's historic in nature, but oil paintings are worth more than acrylic paintings.
Huh.
They just are.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Oil paintings are worth more than acrylic paintings, period. And beneath those are watercolor. And then beneath those are hand printmaking. And way down, and there are some tricky things about printmaking. And beneath, at the very bottom, are reproductions. There are two words in art that are misused and that people need to be really aware of and very cautious about. Original is really misused. Original actually means one of a kind, only one. And an original work of art is one of a kind. Yet it is used to mean it's tagged on to all kinds of other things. Now, the only other time it's appropriate to use the word original is when an artist himself makes hand printmaking. I mean, there's a kind of printmaking that artists make themselves where they make the plates, they hand print every piece. Now they can correctly call those original multiples because even though the image will stay the same for the length of the edition, every piece will be different because they make them one by one. So those are correctly called original multiples.
But how common
And
are
multiple. What?
those?
Very few, very. Jean-Claude, my former husband, makes original multiples. He builds his own printing presses, you know, and he hand paints every piece. But very few artists make true original multiples. But when you hear the word original, say, when you hear original print, probably not. That's probably not a true statement. So anytime, if you're a purchaser, a buyer, anytime you hear the word original, you should stop and investigate what that means. It's probably not accurate.
That's good to know.
The word original is thrown around way too much.
Good. Yeah, that's very good information.
Yeah, it's just not accurate. And there was another word, now I've forgotten it. I carried away on my original rip.
That was really good. I that was.
Yeah, but so there's this hierarchy of So oil painting is highest, and then acrylic paints, and then watercolor. And the reason watercolor is not higher is because watercolor has to be covered with glass.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, it is possible to varnish watercolors, but it changes the color.
Okay.
And
Interesting.
then you lose some of the qualities of watercolor that you love. But most watercolor has to be covered with glass.
Okay.
And so it's less valuable because you can't hang it wherever you want.
Okay. Even if you have a glass frame?
I don't understand your question.
Well, most frames have a glass covering on them.
No, they don't.
Okay.
No. You don't put glass in front of an oil painting. You don't put glass in front of an acrylic painting.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay.
Those are glass free.
Okay. Cool.
And that means you can hang them anywhere you want.
Wow. Wow, that's
And
oh.
although some color pigments are a little more light sensitive than others, like blues.
Okay.
But everybody gets all scared of fading, and there's merit in that, but you and I fade.
Yeah, sure. That's
We have
true.
people shouldn't panic so much because everything on this planet fades.
Yeah,
Everything fades.
that's true.
So the discussion about fading should not be does it fade, because it does, no matter what it is.
Right.
It should be the rate of fading.
We're fading. Awesome.
We should discuss not does it fade, but what rate is it fading at?
Right.
And most things fade so slowly that it will be our great 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 grandchildren that will be able to discern a little bit of fading.
Wow. Wow.
Not, you know, I mean, it's really not an issue unless you're dealing with blue watercolors, that you put in direct sunlight. That you'll be able to see fading. But most artwork does not discernibly fade
Okay.
unless you're really in hot, direct sunlight
Okay.
and mostly blue. It's not really an issue.
Oh, that's very interesting. I do have some art, some fine art pieces that don't have glass, but I figured there was some kind of, I don't know, something that was doing the job for it.
Well, and a lot of times what the glass is for is to keep dust out. It's not about the fading at all. Yeah.
So we got 1 minute left.
Okay.
So
You ask, is there anything you want?
no, I think this has been so informative, and I've learned like a lot from this. I didn't know anything
I
before.
better know a lot by now. I've
Yeah,
only been doing this for 50 years.
you've been working in the field for a long time, so yeah, you gained just a bit of knowledge.
A little bit.
Well, thank you so
Well,
much for sharing your knowledge, and I know the people on Quora appreciate it too. And it's fabulous, and I love your answers. I love your writing. I've always said that you should write a book.
I wrote the one about galleries.
Okay.
And I wrote a book about how to run an art gallery.
Okay.
And I'm starting one for artists, but artists can be so mean.
Yeah, they can. They can. They can.
I have
Absolutely.
to get my courage on.
So where can people find you?
I have a website, gojigallery.com,
Okay.
and my email is mgoji@gmail.
Okay. Awesome.
I'm easy. I'm not hard to find.
Cool. And I'll include that in the post. And this has been so fabulous. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Brooke. Anytime.
Absolutely. And we'll do it again soon.
Okay, cool. Just pick a subject. I probably have lots to say about it.
Cool.
Okay, honey.
We'll do it
Nice talking
again.
with you.
Nice chatting with you. Thanks, Michelle.
All right, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Have a great day.
Thank you so much to Michelle Gozy for schooling me on all things art investing. If you want to get in touch with Michelle, and I highly recommend that you do if you're considering purchasing some high-end art, check out her website, gozygallery.com. If you're finding value in these episodes, please like, share, or consider donating to my Patreon account. Thanks for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production. Music by Corey Knoxville.